Thank you for that introduction, Pastor Tony. It's always great to share the Word of God with you this morning. This week, I had one of those weeks. Actually, I had one of those months and lives and everything like that, that everything that could go wrong could go wrong. Everything that, you know, I reckon, you know, the demons of hell has been unleashed this week. This week I've been sick, and I, you know, the flu has caught up with me and everything like that. And so I was trying to just, you know, don't worry about going to doctors, but I had to go to doctors. And then anyway, cut the long story short, they took my blood pressure and my heart rate was really, really low. And they did it again. And so the doctors was really going, okay, what's going on there? And they wheeled me out to get an ECG, and then now I have to see a cardiologist. So today, if I'm coughing, apologies. But I said to Pastor Tony, whatever it takes, I am preaching the Word of God today, whatever it takes. Because you know what? It happens to be that the fact that today is 26 years since I gave my life to Jesus. And so it's very important for me today to speak the Word of God out, that no matter what happens, no matter what circumstances, situations, or my voice is cracking, I'm still preaching the Word of God today. And so whatever it takes, whatever it takes. You know, it's good to be reminded about the soul control that Pastor Tony preached about six whole weeks in that sense. And who got some really good nuggets on that? Yeah, it's such full pack of wisdom. And I want to say honor Pastor Tony, because he just diligently studies the Word of God and brings to the table for us to feast on every Sunday. And it's no easy feat going and preaching, because I can tell you it's quite challenging. And more often than not, you get tested on what you preach about. So, you know, soul control. So I had to have practice soul control this week, because I was just like, So in the few moments I have with you this morning, I want to share some key thoughts that really arrested my heart and that profoundly shifted what I was thinking about and everything like that. And so I just want to pray that God will give that revelation to you as well, and that God will start to shift some things in your heart that really needs to be shifted. And so we all know that we go to church to be transformed, not only to be informed. So let's pray. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name that, Lord, that your word is sharper than a double-edged sword. Father, and I thank you that your grace is sufficient for me today. And that, Lord God, let your anointing fall on this place. Let your Holy Spirit come. And Father, that there'll be less of me and more of you. That, Lord, that you will be glorified, and that this word, the bits and pieces that I've written down, Father God, that it will transform people's lives. Because I know that, Lord, your word will not return void, but, Lord, will accomplish to that which you have sent it. So, Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name that everyone in this building will encounter the Jesus that's been resurrected, and that, Lord, that is now reigning in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, you know, I tell you this, is that sometimes when God speaks to me, I know. It's always when I'm still, and very, very hard that I get still. So he speaks to me in the shower. And I've told you this before. And so he said to me, Marichelle, and when he says Marichelle, I've got my ears, you know, attentive. He says, the level of your hunger dictates the level you will be filled. The level of your hunger will dictate the level that you will be filled. And so, God, what does that mean? And so I said, okay, God, what does that level of hunger, Lord? I'm hungry to see you move. I'm hungry to see you have salvation for my family. I'm hungry to see the sick healed. Lord, I'm hungry to have a community of people come back to know you again. Lord, I'm hungry for a generation, for the young people to come and worship you like they've never been before. I'm hungry for that, Lord God. And so, you know what he says next? He says, whatever it takes. And so today, I encourage you, church, whatever it takes for you to get back to the place where you once were, and that to the, you know, for your first love to come and get back to the place where God is saying, I want your heart, I want your soul, I want everything about you. You know, and God is looking for a body of believers created in His image to say, I will do whatever it takes. I believe God is looking for a people and a congregation that is called by His name to say, whatever it takes, I will build the church. I will serve you whatever it takes, no matter circumstances or crisis or criticisms. I will do whatever it takes. I believe God is looking for a people that will worship Him again. I believe God is looking for a people that would believe with Him again. And so whatever it takes, people. And He's looking for a people that will count the cost, yet do it anyway. He's looking for you. He's looking for me. If you want to see the move of God in your family, the move of God in this church, the move of God in the area of your life, then you need to do whatever it takes. And I don't know, church, whatever it takes may look like for you. It could be that you surrender your heart again. Because sometimes we get cold. We get complacent. We have apathy creeps in. We allow circumstances to creep in. We allow things of this world to just distract us and derail us. And so, you know, God is asking you whatever it takes. He's looking for us to rise up and be counted. He's going to open doors. I believe God is going to open doors that no man can shut. And He's leading us into a path where He wants us to do whatever it takes to make this church grow. He's wanting some people that will, the people that are far away from God to become close to God. And you are the linchpin for that. So God is looking for a people. And I pray that the spirit of apathy will just be removed in Jesus' name. That the spirit of complacency, the spirit of heaviness will just be lifted off you so that we can move, we can charge by what is going on. And, you know, God is coming soon. God is coming soon. Are you ready? Are you ready to come with Him and to do whatever it takes? Whatever it takes may come in the form of you stepping out of your comfort zone. You know, in the services, for you to get up out of your seat and say hello to someone across the room. It could be that you need to connect again. It could be whatever it takes. It could be someone that you need to open your home again. Because we get busy, don't we? And so sometimes we just, I'm too tired. What about connection? Whatever it takes to connect again. Whatever it takes to build again. Whatever it takes to belong. So do whatever it takes. Church, can you declare with me whatever it takes? Can you turn the person next to you and say, well, do you have a whatever it takes attitude? Do you have a whatever it takes attitude? You know, the Bible is full of stories. Whatever. Whatever. You know, the Bible is full of stories that received their miracles and got their breakthroughs because they did. They simply did whatever it takes. I remember this woman with the issue of blood. She was ill for years. She was bowed down over in pain and she was ill and she did everything she could. She went to the doctor. She took medication. She got some self-help books or whatever it is. But that day she said, I am sick and tired. I'm sick and tired and I want to do whatever it takes for me to get my healing. And so one day she said, no more. This is it. I've had enough. No more. So she said, she asked God, she goes, she risked her life. She risked her life being trampled by a thousand. And then she did whatever it takes to just touch the hem of Jesus' garment. I wonder, church, whether you have that same spirit today, whether you have that same tenacity and determination today for you to believe again, to have to do whatever it takes. There's a story in the Bible I want to reference from that caught my attention. It's the story of a man and four people that lowered their friend to the feet of Jesus. And this is where my passage is coming from. It's whatever it takes story. I'm going to read it to you. It says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum, several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room, even outside the door. While he was preaching God's word to them, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd. There's more to that. So they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat, right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. I want you to picture this scenario, church. Can you imagine the commotion that's going on in this scenario? Can you imagine what it's like? You know, when I read the Bible, so it makes more meaning to me. I immerse myself to the story. I make it like I am there. I want to know how it feels. I want to know what sounds, what noises. I want to know what smell. I engage the senses of my being so that it makes more sense to me when I read the Bible. And if that's something that would help you, I encourage you to do that. So, you know, in this type of scenario, you know, we don't use the word paralytic, do we? So I looked up the dictionary to ask what paralytic means. And basically it just says helpless. It means disabled. It means powerless, immobilized, dead, incapacitated, useless. And I want to say to you, church, today that you may be here, able in body, but your faith is paralyzed. Your hope is paralyzed. You can no longer move. And everything that you once believed and once thought, yes, God, has now become, I don't know anymore. You know, this man, his whole life, like year in, year out, this paralyzed man, he was in the same position, same posture, same confinement, same containment, but something happened inside of him and he said, no more. I'm not going to live this way anymore. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And church, I don't know what has paralyzed you, whether it's external or internal, but God wants to lift the roof off. He wants to take away that limitations that you have once been bound. Your best days are ahead. I prophesy that to each and every one of you. Your best days ahead. You will have movement once again. You will find joy again. You will sing songs again. You will declare the praises of Him again. You will believe again like never before. But you gotta do whatever it takes. It means this man was paralyzed with fear or self-doubt or pride or apathy. You know, because you just got to think, well, why is this man on the mat for how many years? What's going on in there? What did he do that he is stuck? And so this day, it took some effort for him. He took whatever it takes to have a spirit and a different attitude. So today, I want to give you four simple thoughts to help you get off your mat. It's time, church. It's time to get off your mat. Number one, ask. Ask. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask God. Did you ever try to buy someone a gift? Because you really want to bless them. And you know what they say? I don't know. I don't know. I just give me whatever you want. Consequently, you give them whatever they want and there's like, oh, really? But it's not really what they want. You know, we do that. You know, we go, gift giving sometimes can be frustrating. And for me, I can tell you a little bit of a secret for me. I study people. I study and hear things. And I go, I kind of sneakily go, what do you want? But then, and then I put that into my memory bank and I go, okay, yes, I'll do that later on and everything. And because I want people to get what they really want. I don't want this surprise later on where I'll find it in a cupboard or, well, I will see someone receive it because, you know, we don't really exchange gifts, do we? Or whether I'll find it in a marketplace, you know what I'm saying? Everyone do exchange gifts? And, you know, sometimes we do that with God. We do that with God. We dance around and go, oh, yeah, God, I'll just do whatever you want. I will have whatever your will is. But God is asking us to be specific. God is not afraid of your ask. God is want to hear your voice and be specific about it. You know, he's not afraid of what you're asking him or it is too big. And sometimes we ask God because we might think that if we don't get it, we will get disappointed. So we stop asking. We stop asking God. We condition ourselves to go, well, Lord, I'll just have this and then I'll just be thankful for that. No, be specific. Yeah. Be specific with your ask. Cisco, you had an ask. You had an ask, and this beautiful woman, she had said yes. Congratulations. He was specific. Very specific. So, yes. There's a story, you know, in the Bible, and I found in my Christian life that God's answer with your prayers is three things. Yes, no, or wait. Yes, no, or wait. You know, just because God has not answered you yet doesn't mean he doesn't want you to have it. God's delays are not God's denials. Yeah? There's a reason he knows and it will always be to our benefit. God is not a party pooper or a killjoy or a narcissistic God that he doesn't want you to have what you have asked for. The Bible says that he withholds nothing to those whose walk is blameless. God is not afraid of your ask. It says, come boldly before his throne. There's a story in the Bible, this guy called Jabez. He was conceived in pain but delivered in victory. His name labeled him. He was a pain. He was pain. But God, he said, God, I'm sick and tired of this label that's stuck upon me. Now I'm going to ask you to bless me, that all you would bless me, that you will extend my territory. And you know what happened? God did that. He granted his request. There's another guy in the Bible, and it's Solomon, who asked for wisdom. He could have had everything what he wanted, but he asked for wisdom because he wanted to lead the people. And consequently, he got everything else that he never asked for. To be practical a little bit, Daryl had a list. Daryl is our children's pastor who's up there. And I'm just going to just give this to you because, you know, as you know, I'm his second wife. But he had a list when he was 20. And, you know, God reminded him of that list once again. And, you know, I'm not going to see, but he had a huge list, okay? And he just told me a bit of this. He said, when he get married, he wants to have these qualities, right? He said, he wants someone who's going to be neat and tidy. He's a good cook. Who's a kind. Who's a Christian. Who's generous. Who's respectful. Who's honest. And that he wants to have someone that you can see the beauty in them even though they wear track pants or PJs. He wants someone that's smart, sense of humor, romantic, don't know. Love kids when we have them. He wanted someone, look at this, he wanted someone not taller than him. Hardworking, social, loves to entertain, hospitable, determined and passionate. Like, you know, there's all these lists. I said, really? You had that list? But you know, one thing, he didn't specify nationality. So what? God gave him an Asian. You know, sometimes God will not give you what you want, but he will certainly give you what you need. So Daryl needed an Asian wife that can cook, that has a sense of humor, that's short. I tell you one thing, he was dating one day and you know, we were eating and then he said, oh, I'm just going to chuck this thing on. There's a bin in the corner of my house. He lifted up, he thought it was the bin. You know what's in there? It's a 25 kilo rice. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this, you know, this woman eats rice all the time, morning, lunch, dinner. Hey, you wanted an Asian. My daughter, who's going to be 12 in a couple of weeks, gave me a list and said, Mum, here's my, I'm 12 soon, and here's my 12 things that I want for my birthday. So, I love surprises, don't get me wrong. For those of you who want to give me a gift, I love surprises, but I'd rather tell you what I want. If I give you a list, then you can pick and choose which one of those, and then at least I won't get disappointed. So that's me, okay, in a nutshell. So God, getting back to this, God is wanting to give you what you ask for. And today, there's some of you need to ask God for something specific. Have an ask. In a few moments' time, God is going, have an ask. He will give you an ask. And I want you to ask God on what you really want. But can I speak pastorally to you for a moment? You may have a huge list. You may have a huge ask. But if you're still unlocked in unforgiveness and bitterness, start with that. Start with that, because I can tell you what, you will never handle what is huge until you are free. Until you are free. The greatest healing you could receive is not the condition of your body, but maybe the condition of your heart, which is forgiveness. And some of you here today, you may need to forgive. No, forgiveness is not just like forgiving the other person, but maybe you need to forgive yourself for all the things that maybe you have thought that you've failed yourself with. Today, God wants to heal you. You know, God will often not give you what is obvious, but what is oblivious to you. God will often not give you what is obvious, but what is oblivious to you. This man who is paralyzed said, God, I came here for you to heal me. But what did he get? His sins were forgiven. You might be asking God for fire so that you can fix the problem, but instead of fixing the problem, why don't we ask God to go straight to the problem and said, God, heal my addiction. You know, this man is nameless. And he had an ask. He was just lying there. He was going, God, I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired. I really just want to get up. I just want to get up from this confinement. I just want to get up from this paralyzed mind. And I just want to get up. And God, I don't know how it is possible, but I want you to help me to get up. And so as he got up, four men asked, heard his ask and said, there's something different about your ask today. Yeah. And so I'm going to heal. So what's your ask? What's your ask? You know, it's no coincidence that these four men was just going to drag this man out of the mat. But he had an ask. And what mat do you need to get out from? So have an ask. Number two, attach. With your ask, maybe you need to attach something. It could be you need to attach faith to it, even though it's small as a mustard seed. It could be that you need to attach trust again. Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I do know that I'm choosing to trust you. It could be that you need to attach to your ask gratitude, which I'm thankful for what I have, but God, help me to be grateful for what I, you know, I'm not going to focus on what I don't have, but what I do have. Number three, agree. You might have an ask, you may have faith to attach something to it, but the Bible says in Matthew 18:20, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. You know, there's power that flows from agreement. So today when you come to the front and ask God and you attach something to it, we're going to agree with you. We're going to agree with you, with your ask. These four men agreed to attach something to this man's ask. They agreed to carry him. All four of them on that mat, and which direction they're going to go carry him to. They all agreed to dig a hole from the roof. Imagine if one of them said, I don't agree anymore. The mat wouldn't have moved. It needed all four for it to move. And they all agreed to lower him at the feet of Jesus. And so today, our agreement for you today, church, when you come at the front, we're going to just agree with you. We're going to agree today is to lower you to the feet of Jesus. We are agreeing not to answer every question that you may have, but we are going to agree to lower you to the one who knows everything and to ask him any questions. Number four, the fourth thing is action. A little less conversation, a little more action is what I say all the time. But don't be surprised that after you ask, after you attach and after the agreement, that Jesus is going to ask you to do something. He's going to act. He's going to ask you to act on something that you're believing for. So you lay at the feet of Jesus, but you need to act. This man, it says in verse 11, Jesus turned to him and said, stand up, pick up your mat and go home. So today you might have to say something to someone. You might have to forgive someone. You might have to sow a seed. Have an ask, have an attachment, have an agreement, and have some action. You know, there's so much more I want to say from this passage. And I'm going to continue this series of part two when I preach in a couple of weeks' time, because there's so much richness in that story, and I want you to capture it, church. I really do, because there's something in that for us in the season where we're in as a church. You want to move? You want to see God move? Then we got to do whatever it takes. Can we all stand, please? I wonder today where you have an ask and that you started to just dislodge your heart of believing. I wonder today whether you need to give your life to Jesus, the one who knows all the answers. I ask you today, do you have an ask? Today, when you have an ask, I'm going to attach our faith unto you, and we're going to agree with you. But the fourth thing is, it's yours. You need to act. You need to act. Just sing the song. We're going to have a God moment. I want you to lean in. And if you wanted to come up the front and be specific about what you want, then we open the altar, the team will come and pray. We're not going to say anything. We're just going to agree with your ask. So let's sing this song.